This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, we're back. We're actually on the couch this time. So, yeah, so that is all good. Welcome, everyone. So before we start, we're going to ground ourselves into our session. Not session, but into our episode, as I like to say. So I want you guys to just get into your comfortable position, whatever feels comfortable to you. And we're just going to do a simple breathing exercise, but focusing more on our bodies and noticing different parts of our bodies, if there's any tension there. And if you feel any tension, I just want you to just take a deep breath and breathe in, okay? So we're going to start with 3 cleansing breaths. Let's take an inhale through our nose. In our mouth, let's exhale. All right, in our second inhale, I want you to notice the sensation of your chest as you inhale. And I want you to open your mouth and blow out and notice those sensations as well. Let's take a deep breath in. With this last breath, I want you to take in everything you want to take in your body, noticing the sensation, and I want you to blow out everything that you want to release. So let's take a deep breath in. Starting with the crown of your head, noticing the sensation in your scalp. Noticing any feelings that you may be experiencing because of those sensations, the urges to want to itch. Moving down to your face, let's just move our face muscles by squinting our face for 3 seconds. Releasing it. Moving your jawline and utilizing those muscles, relaxing it. Going down to your neck and your shoulders, dropping them. They're tense, releasing that. Going down to your chest. In your stomach, taking a deep breath to release any tension you experience from there. Moving down to your thighs and your knees, if you notice any sensation there, stretching it out if you can. Stretching it out the other leg. Down to your calves and your toes. I want you to squeeze your toes to the ground if you're able to. If not, just squeeze your toes together, releasing them. Wiggling your toes. Squeeze it again. Wiggling it through. And just bring your attention to your mind, noticing your thoughts, not engaging with them, just noticing them. Expressing some gratitude, how your mind has served you today so far. Taking a deep breath. Appreciating the fact that your mind allows you to process any experience, to give you ideas, expressing that gratitude. How it functions. And our final deep breath as our practice comes to an end, I want you to inhale through your nose. Open your mouth to exhale. At your time, whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. All right, friends, how was it?
I actually noticed quite a bit of stillness this morning, which I had some thoughts about, like that being surprising. Just kind of based on my past history and like comparison with doing breathing exercises in the past, I kind of noticed that I will get a little bit more distracted. And I think that in this particular exercise, I was able to anchor to your voice pretty well and just be present in the moment. So it was helpful.
Good deal. Good deal. So there's a sense of calmness that you said you experienced. You like my voice? But you were able to find yourself feeling pretty grounded. Okay, good deal. How about you, Steph?
For me, the most, I think, intense sensation I felt was cold. I, like, noticed that, like, halfway through the mindfulness where I was like, oh, my hands are cold. My arms are feeling the breeze on my arms. And then I also kind of really got carried with your voice, stayed really grounded with the exercise. When you had asked us to stretch our, I think, thigh muscles, I decided not to because I wasn't sure how, like, my legs are long, so I was not sure how, if I would stretch, if I was going to kick you, if I was going to kick your computer, so I chose to keep my legs, you know, the way that they were. But I did brace my toes and felt that in my shoes, and I felt really grounded in that. Noticed that my mind was not as active as it usually is, so that stillness that you had discussed, I also felt a lot of. And joy, contentment, just really just sitting with myself and not having any discomfort around that.
Good deal. Good deal. So you noticed that for you, the temperature, which is a thing for you. No, you'd be experiencing the cold. But after that, it seems like you didn't focus on that very much, and you just kind of just went with it, though your mind was busy or was contemplating whether you should stretch your legs or not. But you were able to kind of bring it back and kind of feel at peace.
I did.
Yeah.
What did you notice, Ryan?
Well, I think for me, because when I realized I was doing mindfulness, I was like, okay, what do I want to do? So it was that thought. But then in my mind, instead of just like a regular breathing exercise, I was like, oh, I want to check on our bodies. So I decided to, so last minute, I decided to kind of go with that. And I noticed that my jaw was stiff a little bit when I was moving my face muscles and moving my jawline. And I was like, ooh, relax. So that thought kind of came. But other than that, I think I just didn't want to, I was mindful about going at a, like a normal pace and not speed, because you know I talk fast. So that's the part that I think I was like very intentional about. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I felt pretty grounded. I felt my breathing was pretty good, which is something that congestion-wise, like I struggle with. But other than that, it was all good.
It sounds like you were able to engage. Which
I was.
It's hard to be instructed. It's okay.
Glad
you were able to get something
out of it, too. Thanks, man. There was a little bit of distraction because my phone rang, but it was coming through my watch, and then I heard that, and I was like, okay, bring it back.
I noticed that, but I also was able to kind of just move along.
Right, and I was like, right.
I
was like, bring it back.
For the mindfulness and getting us grounded. So, guys, what are we talking about today?
Well, our topic for today is going to be that everybody needs therapy.
Everybody. Every single body.
So I know that we've kind of been into the podcast a little bit. We've already kind of been talking about from our perspective as Black therapists. But yeah. I want to give a little bit more perspective around, like, what therapy is exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get into, like, how it could be beneficial to everybody else.
So what is therapy? Therapy, is it a kiki between you?
We're not friends?
No,
we're in a relationship, but not a friendly relationship.
I don't know, guys. Like, I've been to therapy myself, and I also am a therapist and have provided therapy to a lot of people. A lot of folks be feeling like we are
the best friend.
We are the friend, the sister. I've had people wanting to go out to drinks, happy hour, inviting me to a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So therapy definitely provides a space of safety, security, empathy, probably a closeness that you haven't experienced with other people.
Yeah.
So, but what is therapy?
The way I define therapy is a non-judgmental space for you to really have the opportunity to practice self-care by really with someone.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
He's a professional in terms of they study in all sorts of different things, and then they're able to help you manage, you know, what it is that you're experiencing, whether it's trauma, whether you're coming in because you're stressed at work, whether you're feeling overwhelmed as a parent, whether you a male who's not, you know, feeling like you're your best self, or you're struggling with anger and don't understand why.
Some preventative maintenance.
Right?
Like, so, to just organize your life.
It's just a place where a professional who's licensed is able to help you navigate the system. What I define is that we are your Siri, we are your Alexa, we are
Google.
Google. That type, we're not promoting them, but either way. But that's what I define therapy is, in a sense of, like, if there's anything that you're having a difficult, either discussing with friends, family, or something that you yourself don't feel comfortable discussing with other people, it's good to discuss it with someone that is trained in that.
I think that therapy gives an objective point of view, right?
Yes.
Like, it allows you to have those conversations and those share your deepest, darkest secrets with someone who is not so close into your experience like a family member would be. It definitely provides more room for things to be non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And what therapy is not, therapy is not a place where you are perhaps going to be getting some advice. Your therapist is not going to tell you what to do or how to fix your life. Mm-hmm. Your therapist can provide you with some, like, coping skills, some suggestions, but it really is a place for you to kind of figure out your own stuff, given the tools or, like, without the extra that maybe it has been a barrier for you in the past.
Yeah. So I'm hearing that therapy is a place where challenges, problems, issues are assessed, diagnosed, and you assist a person with moving through those things. You're not always going to be able to solve the problem. Like, for example, trauma is not something that can be solved. You can't solve things of the past, but having a slightly different perspective that allows you some freedom to move differently with yourself is what therapy can provide for you. Yeah. So that's what I would say what therapy is. It's a place where you can assess, you can be given some skills, some education. So based on what you had said, therapists are your search engine for interventions, education, and resources.
But and therapy is also not a place of performance.
Which so place. that was actually what I was going to bring up, right? Like when we are as therapists, we are facilitating all of these things for you that you maybe have not experienced with someone else. So perhaps we are the first person that you've been able to come to and be be validated by things. And so there is a little bit of like challenges with boundaries there that your therapist also has to facilitate because of that closeness. So it is a real relationship. There's openness, there's transparency, but it's a real professional relationship.
And it's a place for authenticity and to also build trust, right? So your therapist is not looking for you to show up well, is not looking for you to come as your best self. Matter of fact, we want you not to come to yourself so we can figure it out, right? So it's being the you that you know that you are or trying to discover without feeling like you need to present a certain way. And the reason why I say the performative part is that we do get a lot of clients who feel like they need to be put together or they have to put on the same thing they put on the outside. Well, they gotta
or
put
they
it
want
for
you
us,
as a therapist
they
to
want
see
you to
them
impress
a certain way.
Exactly.
But I think that that is a product of their challenge and the reason why they're coming into therapy in the first place is that most of our clients, but most human beings, have not been allowed to just exist without being criticized, judged, or being told that they have to show up in a particular way. So I had made a TikTok a little while ago about why going to therapy seems like people, like there's something wrong with you whenever someone might say, like, you know, hey, I think you might need to get a therapist. It feels like an insult because we spend so much time projecting to the world that we're okay. At times, the way that therapy is advertised to the world is like you need to go there because there's something wrong with you. This way it's almost like jail for the mental, like kind of thing. It's like go for a couple months to this person and then you know when your time is up, come find, you know, reorient yourself back into community. So I think like therapy can have a negative connotation it, but that's therapy is not a place that you go for only challenges and to be better. It is a place for you to get deeper understanding of self. And also I think to highlight parts of yourself or overall picture that you're not always ready to see or was I think that only kind of revealed itself later in life. There's things that I see about myself now that I don't think I was able to see when I was in my 20s when I was
but
in my teens.
That's your blind spot, right? So that's what your therapists do. Your therapists really look at your blind spot that you don't see. But to your point, does it still... there's still a taboo around therapy, right? So back in the day, so back in the day, it was that part of like, you're crazy, you, it's institutionalized, right? And to your point, Ty, is that even the way it's advertised in the media or even the way it's talked about, it still feel like something has to be wrong in order for you to go. And we're here today to tell y'all that something gotta be wrong.
That's not true, right? That leads us to a discussion about how therapy can be for everyone. And us saying that therapy can be for everyone doesn't mean that everyone has to go to therapy, right? There are certainly other ways to learn about yourself and to heal outside of
The therapeutic space.
But therapy being for everyone, meaning that you can go to therapy at different levels of your life, different experiences, and that's okay.
For sure. And to that point, I think this is where, we're not going to talk on this, but this is where the life coaching and stuff also come into play.
Life coaching, self-help books. They call that bibliotherapy, actually. Yeah. There is a form of therapy where reading books as a means to get a deeper understanding of self is helpful. Now, I want to clarify, if you do bibliotherapy with a therapist, that is different than when you read self-help books or some of these other tools on your own, right? Because one thing that a therapist and a social worker have is that expertise, the clinical piece that we get in school, right? There's hundreds of years of resources, theories, philosophies around human development, human beings. And so that's what we bring to the table that you can't always get from a book that doesn't allow conversation.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Like there's an actual human that you kind of bounce those ideas off of. And I recommend some self-help books to my clients, right? Because it gives them some tangible tools to use in between our therapy sessions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, like, outside of the therapy space, like not having someone to bounce those ideas off of. And I also am very cognizant of what kinds of books that I recommend. Like a very popular book that is shared between therapists around trauma is The Body Keeps Score.
Yes.
But the way that the book is written, it's very clearly written for someone who is a trained clinician.
Yes. Yes.
But there's been a lot of discourse around the book from people who are reading it who are not in that space, right?
Yes.
So reading the book, one, can be re-traumatizing if you've had some experiences with trauma. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard a lot of discourse around it feeling almost like the person that wrote the book is sympathizing with the predator. And in reality, that is because you're not coming from it from a clinical lens.
Exactly.
So there is some things to be mindful about when you're doing your own research.
Yeah.
And would not recommend. Like, of course you can get an EMDR book off of Amazon. Of course you can get a DBT book off of Amazon. But are you perhaps going to be damaging yourself without having someone else to discuss those things with and without having the prior knowledge?
In an episode, we talked about also like the diagnosing piece and what's best. I think also be mindful that you're not getting books because you feel like you giving yourself a certain diagnosis or you feel like there's something wrong with you and you're trying to understand it. And that's the role of a therapist. If you feel like there's something about me I don't understand, or I'm having this set of experiences, or my body's having this set of experiences, is yes, you can read about it. And to your point, it's difficult to read about something that you're not trained in fully understanding. So that's what also therapy is. It's like coming to a space where you can actually discuss certain thoughts and feelings that you've been having that you may feel saying you one thing, but in reality, you're just having a human experience. And that has happened to us all the time when people come see us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree. I think that another...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Another thing that comes to mind is human beings are naturally curious people, right? Like, we want to understand because the more we understand, the more that we are able to, we are able to, I think, have more opportunity. We're able to see more depth to the picture. I also think that we're not saying that when you read self-help books or when you are researching more information about yourself that, like, you don't have the knowledge to do so. We're not saying those things, but it's kind of like when you take a class in calculus versus you read a book in calculus, right? Mm-hmm. When you take a class, you have the ability to have a shared experience with the other people and learn different perspectives around the same material, right? When you have multiple perspectives, multiple interpretations of a material, it can increase the ways in which that you understand versus when you're reading a book, of course you get the language, you know what the words mean, but there's also only a singular way in which that you're taking in the information. So that's what therapy provides, is that it opens you up to multiple ways and provides conversation. And the difference between a living being and a book is a living being has experiences that they share and can, you know, get
personable.
From versus a book, there's only one point, and that was the point that the author wrote it from. You know? So that's just something to talk about. So if therapy is not just a place where people who are crazy, people who have problems, that's not the space only for them, who else can benefit?
Different type of people can go to therapy for different reasons. For example, if you're transitioning from high school to college, that can be, you know, challenging to acclimate to that new environment. Because when you're in college, you do have that independence. You're not dependent. It's a new framework. It's a new environment down to teachers. So you can go to therapy just if you need that adjustment. Another transitional, people come to therapy for transition, is also if you're transitioning out of a relationship. And just need help processing that.
Changes in your life, like having a kid life, or losing a parent.
Having kids, grieving, or even if you feel stuck. Some people feel stuck emotionally, career-wise, even as we ageism, right? And you just feel like you lose yourself, or you're not sure who you are, or you just need help of, like, understanding what's next for you.
People or like understanding, like, that self-identity, that too. That can really be helpful to go to therapy, to have someone, to have, like, a non-judgmental space to really share what you are thinking and, like, who you are.
If you're craving a change, sometimes, too, it doesn't necessarily need to be, I feel stuck. It's just, I feel like I've met all my goals in this arena, in this place, and I think I'm ready to move on to a new challenge, but I'm not exactly sure where to go or how to kind of set myself up for that.
So those are the different type of people. Those are different ways that therapy, people go to therapy for. Another thing that comes to mind as we're talking, and only because somebody came to me with that, is that, let's say if you have a habit you want to break.
Changing habits.
Know how to change your habit or break that habit. A therapist, a behavioral therapist, which, you know, we'll kind of later talk about, can also, like, help you navigate that. Help you navigate that system.
So I think that that kind of transitions as well, right? Because there is certainly different types of therapy, right? Not all therapy is just, like, talking to someone, right? There is talk therapy, but there's also a variety of different types of therapy modalities that could be beneficial for different things. So if you're experiencing trauma, somatic therapy could be beneficial to you. Things like EMDR, DBT, those things can be helpful in, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy can be helpful in identifying how, like, our body responds to traumatic experiences. And trauma therapy is not combing through and storytelling about, like, what traumatic events happen to you. It really is, like, how is my body responding to these things in the now, and how can I kind of break that tie between my trauma and how I want to live my life now? So As a trauma therapist, right? I get a lot of people who come to me and like, I want to stop having these dreams. I want to not think about this thing anymore. Or I can't remember my traumatic experience. And they're expecting, sometimes people will come expecting to like, help me remember these things. And I'm like, I'm going to pause you right there because your mind really offered you a courtesy in allowing you to not remember those things because you couldn't handle it at that time.
Exactly.
And that's okay. We don't need to comb through what your experience was in order to figure out how you can live your life outside of that past experience by honoring the past and moving forward with how you want to live now.
And can I, I just wanted to slow down a bit because you said a few things about the different types. So talk therapy obviously is the one that we're used to where you sit down with a therapist and you guys talk, converse about it. But you said somatic, right?
Yes.
So for our viewers, somatic has to do with body work, right? It genuinely is working with your body to release, regulate, and reestablish new neurons,
Neural pathways and new connections to like
around the experience that you've kind of like been reliving. So to what you said, Tyler, I think the media and a lot of movies and a lot of things make you feel like healing with trauma looks like the pieces of your past falling into place, right? Like I
now
have
I
these
remember
I remember everything and now that these pieces that I didn't have that were floating in the air are now placed nicely, I'm whole.
I can move forward.
That is not how.
So I do, because we all of us, all three of us are trauma therapists as well, is I do a lot of body work. What people don't realize is that before your mind conceptualized what happened, your body experienced it first. Your body's what signals to your mind what's
those thoughts and beliefs.
And but your body take the first hit. That's why all of us are like, hey, let us slow you down. I know you want to tell the story, you want to tell the event. But let's see how your body is experiencing in this moment, just the thought that something did happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, as it relates to trauma, I don't want to stay too much in it, but when it comes to that somatic therapy, is that that's why it's your body that we connect to into the book that you talked about, where the body keeps the score, because the body's the first line of defense is what I teach clients. Before your mind gets it, your body is happening to your body, bam, then the body signals to the brain, we're not okay, we're okay, what's happening? And the powerful part of the brain is that it will protect you. We teach you that your brain actually protects you from the things that you're not ready to handle, but your body has already experienced and understanding that.
I find somatic, just in my professional experience, I also find somatic therapies to really be more beneficial to POC, like people of color, than any other therapeutic modality that I've learned listened to. Particularly when we think about like black bodies or like African American people or people whose ancestry is aligned with the Atlantic slave trade, right?
Yes.
You think about how like black bodies have been like disposed of, damaged, abused over time. And then like we think about the generations later. I have traumatic responses to stuff that probably is more aligned with my ancestry than my own personal experiences. So having the work of a somatic therapist really can help you to identify more of like, how do I want to choose to respond to this versus how I have been conditioned or how my DNA has shifted to respond to things. And so I find I have found that to be more beneficial than talk therapy or like narrative therapy where we're like storytelling. Sometimes narrative therapy
is very powerful.
It can be helpful to like rewrite your story in conjunction with somatic therapy. But I don't, I do also want to kind of point out some of the history of some of the modalities, right? We don't want to go without saying that therapy and the therapeutic model certainly is riddled with some like white supremacy, right?
Oh, yeah. It was
oppressive. And even thinking about the history of some of like older models like psychotherapy or like hypnosis and things like that. There was some abuse of some bodies in that research, right? So as black therapists in particular, there is a lot of need to really be mindful of that when you are sharing therapeutic models with people and helping them to heal. And that definitely is not something that is like not on the radar.
Right. For sure. But that's the first thing that I think
as we're talking about interventions and we talk to clients, is that they were based and they were practiced and tested on non-people of color. Mm-hmm. It was colonized. It was really, so not a lot of these modalities, be mindful that it is not, it's not tailored to our experience necessarily. And for therapists also to be mindful, like you said,
and
modify,
to modify
that, to give light to the minority experience.
And I think that can be one of the barriers, right? We wanted to kind of get into what are some barriers to people engaging in therapy. Is like just people feeling like it's not for them. They're not wrong in some ways, right? So I think that that is also why choosing a therapist is really important, because you want to be able to choose someone who can help you to modify. You don't want to necessarily have a therapist who is so connected to the textbook that they're not able to really see how this can be beneficial to you as a human.
I think that, like, one of the things that you had said and that you also piggybacked on that I kind of want to take a little deeper dive is around language. A lot of the reason why I think that somatic therapies work better with people of color, cultured people, is that language and emotions go like hand in hand, right?
For sure.
We talked about and recently that like our understandings of emotion come from social constructs, but cultural constructs as well too. And language is a huge piece of cultural context, right? How we speak about ourselves, the words that we use. I know in, I'm Nigerian, and in our language, there are so many like slangs and so many sayings that cannot be translated like clearly into the English language, but a lot of therapy is usually done in the English language. So there is, that's why I think that when we're talking about like body work and when we're talking about the experience of the body, that I think is a bit more nuanced, right? And there's,
it can
a
be
bit,
a bit more universal.
Universal and nuanced at the same time, versus language, for the most part, a symptom, anxiety. Anxiety, everyone knows it, but knows it from the Western context.
It's very Western.
So, like, if we think about how certain things and certain cultures are seen, something can be very much labeled one thing here, but in another cultural context, that's not what it's labeled as. Well, you gave a great
example. Seeing visions.
That was about to say.
Right. That can be very culturally appropriate.
But those are the things that's kind of, when I remember when I got into the field, those were the first thing that I experienced, where a lot of my counterpart clinicians were quick to give diagnosis to people of color, like schizophrenia, or schizoaffective, or bipolar with psychotic features.
ODD.
And, because there was things like, well, I had this dream, or I have this feeling, or I have this premonition.
Or I was talking, I talked to my grandmother. Who...
Yes, exactly. And those are some cultural things. And you have to be, you know, also to like white clinicians, be mindful of what your culture say and educate yourself, is what I tell my clinicians who are white, is in the sense of like, it's not your client's job to educate you on their culture. Literally dive yourself into their culture to understand the norms of it.
I wouldn't even necessarily say it's a white therapist.
I would perhaps say
it is maybe like a therapist who subscribes to like whiteness as the majority. That can be anybody.
Or I would even go even deeper to say that we are very susceptible to assuming that people live the same lives that we do.
I
think it's just like,
that can be a very common thing.
You know, like, I just think that we just assume that everyone lives the way that we do, thinks, has similar experiences. Yeah. So I think that instead of making it like an individual thing, I just think it's a like universal thing. So it is just better to make sure that the person that you are choosing to enter an intimate relationship with, your therapist, which is an intimate relationship, making sure that they are speaking or at least understanding your language or the what you are wanting to bring to the therapy
yeah.
space.
Yeah, and being yeah. willing to explain too, right? Yeah. Like that sometimes people can have this like adverse reaction to explaining themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I predominantly see people of color. Mm-hmm. And even in my experience, I know that perhaps I come from a different place of privilege than mm-hmm. some of my other clients. Mm-hmm. But there can be this assumption that like, because I'm seeing a black woman, she'll get it, she'll understand.
Yeah.
It.
Yes.
And there mm-hmm. is some things that they perhaps don't have to explain to me that mm-hmm. I can understand. And we all mm-hmm. are, we live different lives. We're not a monolith. So there is still room for being able to understand your culture or your client's culture, even if you are, you have some similar cultural background. Right. There's still right. some room for difference in explaining.
All right. So how do we help people pick a therapist? What are some steps they can take to, as we kind of like come going in, like to pick a therapist?
One, narrow down what your goal, what you want to get out of therapy yeah. or what you're mm-hmm. wanting to, like, I ask a lot of my clients, what are you looking to decrease or what are you trying to do more of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because once you're able to kind of answer that question, mm-hmm. you are more able to then find a provider that aligns with what it yeah. is that you're looking for.
I think that that too is like a very behavioral therapist question, right? Like mm-hmm. because we are coming from a behavioral standpoint, mm-hmm. I tell my clients from the beginning, I am a behavioral therapist, so yep. that means that I'm going to be helping you or looking at particular behaviors. Mm-hmm. So that already is telling them what to expect from me, but mm-hmm. also like what type of therapy you're in. Mm-hmm. If you are not necessarily looking to mm-hmm. change behaviors, or if you are looking more to like have more storytelling or to be validated, mm-hmm. I perhaps maybe am not the best therapist for just that. Mm-hmm. That'll be a part of our experience. Mm-hmm. But I do struggle with clients who are just like wanting to have me just to check in, yeah. right? To like feel okay. Right.
And check-ins are something that are part of therapies that I yeah. want to maybe have a space that bi-weekly or monthly where I get to kind of run down or run through any mm-hmm. of the challenges or the problems that I've had, stressors over the mm-hmm. month or over the last few weeks, and just get a different perspective and maybe some tools on how I could navigate differently or effectively in the future. Yeah. That would be, you know, something that we could do.
Another thing to look at is your comfortability and also challenging your comfortability around whether it's gender, whether mm-hmm. it's race, whether it's culture, the type of therapist that you feel comfortable with.
Age,
exactly. The type of therapist that you feel comfortable with. And don't assume whether the person is young or they're of different ethnicities you that they may not be able to provide you the service that you need or the space that you need.
Yeah.
And another thing is that allow yourself to have 3 to 4 therapy sessions before you deemed that
it's
not for you.
Yeah.
Right? I always say that therapy is like going, finding a therapist is like going to pick out a dress for that event, and that while you're in the fitting room, it looks good. Then you get home, because they have the lighting, everything looks good. Then you get home, you're like, this does not fit the way that I thought it fit. And that's how finding a therapist is that you may feel like in the interim, when you had the consultation, this may work out. But after 4 sessions, you may feel like, oh, I don't think it's not a good fit. So it's not, you're not hurting the therapist's feelings. Yeah. You just didn't go back to the drawing board. I just say, don't get deterred and be like, yeah, see, this is why I didn't want to go to therapy. This is useless. So we deter you from like, just be mindful, like you're going to find that person that's in your niche.
Yeah. Shifting gears a little bit, right? I do have a question for you all. What is it like for you all as therapists trying to have these conversations with people that are close to you, who are around you, who may not subscribe mm-hmm. to the same beliefs about like therapy being something that works?
Don't talk to me. I said, do not talk. If I'm not your therapist, but when they come to me and I see that you have a running theme, because the thing with family and friends is that they know what you do for a living. So they'll come and you know, they're like, oh, I want to tell you this. And you help them. That's fine. And the minute that it starts to become a routine, I'm like, hey, I really think you should talk to someone. They'd be like, well, I'm talking to you. I said, well, don't talk to me then. It's not going to work. I said, so I'm suggesting that. Or they get on the defensive side of saying, well, you therapize me.
hence why you need therapy.
I used to say that therapy is a paid service, and my own therapist got on me about how that can be a little bit brass for my family members, but I think that I sometimes struggle with that, right? It sometimes feel like I'm fighting for my life with other generations in my family around like why therapy could potentially be beneficial for them. I don't know if it's just like a lack of understanding, history, or not believing in the medical system.
I think it's all of it. System, I think all of it plays a role.
Yeah.
And comfortability.
Yeah.
Because they see you as a safe space. Mm-hmm. So, that's the only thing that, but this, we could go this conversation.
I mean, we can definitely go. I mean, my opinion on it is that you can only help people who are wanting and willing to do that. So, you know, I'm not, like I had said a little bit earlier with y'all, I'm not waterboarding nobody for therapy. I'm not about to force it down your throat.
Nope.
I'm just letting you know that it is a place and a space where even therapists should take advantage of therapy. And we can definitely talk about that, you know, in another session. But let us wrap it up, guys. It's always great having a conversation with y'all.
Yes,
thank you guys for joining us. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Sparkle Ty.
I'm Jay.
Bye.
See ya.